The newspaper obituary was poorly written. Even my 10th grade education picked up the grammatical flaws, not to mention the rambling content and elementary sentence structure. At least 2 run-ons and way too many commas. Although there was a subject-verb disagreement toward the close of the piece, misspelling was not an issue. I guess the Larkspur Ledger mercifully ran it through spell check. No doubt the bereaved, overwhelmed author could have benefited from such books as Obituaries for Idiots, or perhaps a Google search for tips on writing death announcements. Unfortunately, that long column, an eruption of gut-wrenching sadness and bitterness, would be just the first of 2 the writer would ultimately pen. Running alongside several others that day in the newspaper, the obituary mentioned the immediate family as survivors, as though merely a single group was devastated. By anyone's standards, the lives of at least 4 families, maybe just 2 families, depending on how you define family, were affected by the death. Certainly more than 4 if one counts the physicians who eventually had to leave town over it. The funny thing about that hastily drafted, redundant memorial was that the paper did not bother to mention those other families, who in a liberal sense were just as immediate as the blood relatives of the deceased. Their existence, too, was twisted, no, tormented, by 1 act, 1 day, 1 death. The 2 years that followed found me as a high school senior in Larkspur, Mississippi. Normally that period of a teenager's life would be a joyous relief, a climactic ritual to the great American educational experience. But for me, remembrance of that phase still evokes a sadness that has never found resolution. Sometimes the grief reaches a degree that is more than intolerable, depending upon how I remember my parents and how I believe others judge their final circumstances. Many times the anguish of such regret causes mere existence to become marginal at best, especially when regret becomes a way of life. And that existence was consumed by more calamity. Sometimes I have referred to those other sordid catastrophes as the rest of the stuff. The misfortune of stooped-over Mrs. Archersell and her dog. My police arrest with sexy Kaylee. The bloody mess in that serene neighborhood rose garden. And the other tripped-up actions that led to my wearing the proud uniform. The uniform of the Larkspur City Fire Department. Nonetheless, during that coveted night spent on the hill with society's upper crust, the distinguished uniform was left hanging in my closet, along with its spare.